Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. That's Bomani Jones and Sarah Spain. Let's get started.
I didn't miss you at all.
Are you sold on the NBA bubble after they announced zero positive tests since July 13th?
It's interesting because I think as journalists, we're almost always trending towards cynical or skeptical. And I know when I saw the details on this protocol, my reaction was to say, there's no way that they can pull this off. This is too minute in terms of everything that they're exploring. And this right here is the first bit of actual sports-related hope that I have felt. The math on this, the fact that they tested 350 people and everybody is clean. I don't know what's going to happen here going to the future. None of us know what's going to happen going into the future. But this is as positive a numerical result as you can get if you feel like hoping.
Hey, man, if they figured out how to make this work, and I have found it implausible that most of these sports situations could be made to work, but they have a very unique situation because they can keep everybody basically within the same places. They got a testing protocol that's there. And if they got it now to where nobody is testing positive for this, then let's go play some basketball, right? Mm-hmm. You are miracle workers if you made this happen. I don't know how many of your peers in the other sports are really going to be able to make this go, but if they did it, I'm sure not going to sit here and root against it. If they feel legitimately confident that it can work, then we should try to make it work. And this is where the NBA, they earned a measure of trust in the way that they handle things early that leads us to believe now if they say they can play, that they can actually play. That's what the NFL is going to be fighting against. We don't trust them the same way. And honestly, it's a trust that they haven't earned. The NBA, credibility, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, I'm going to start by saying I hope that you guys are right. And I agree that they've earned the benefit of the doubt because the way that they've listened to the experts and science and put into place really strong protocols. That being said, I cannot believe that of the three of us, I'm going to be the one that's the most cynical here because, look, this is only the beginning. There are still opportunities for guys to leave because they need to get some strange. There are still people coming in and out that work in the restaurants, that work in the laundry, that work in like those employees that are not in the bubble that come and go still have an opportunity to expose themselves and come back in and have somewhere in the protocol things fall apart. I don't want it to. I want to watch basketball. I want to be hopeful. I want this to work so that we think other things could maybe follow suit. But it's very early. And like I said, there's still a chance for guys to get, you know, a little wild and want to get out of the bubble. And there's also still a chance for people to get a little bit too complacent with the testing and not stick with it the way they have thus far. But fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think the dilemma for the NBA is this one, though, is just because you think it might fall apart, does that mean that you don't try to do it at all, right? Because one thing we're hearing from the NFL is a great point. Starting this is not nearly as important as finishing it is. And you're right. There are chances that players can mess this up and that other people that surround this can mess this up. There's also a lot of money on the line here. And you got to hope that that's going to be the tie that binds people to some measure of responsibility. But if this is what it is right now, then I don't blame them for trying.
Well, you know what's funny about the symbolism of that is the fact of the matter is this can't even be argued numerically, no matter where you side on science, no science. We do not deserve to have sports back. We are the worst when it comes to handling this coronavirus. The rest of the world deserves sports. They handled this responsibly. But what are we doing? We're fixing it with bleeping money. All the NBA resources in the world, all of Disney's resources as we get hit on cruise ships, on entertainment, on sports, on parks. And here is all the money in the world trying to make the fantasy real. It's very Disney World.
Well,
and
it's
when
very...
you say we don't deserve it, be very clear on who we is, Dan. If you say we don't deserve it, we is Florida. You guys absolutely do not deserve it. Up here, we've been responsible about this. Go look at the grass. Our curve flat like a mud, unlike y'all.
Yeah, we got to blame Florida instead of Canada. America's Hat is handling this well. America's Wang, not so much.
So embarrassed.
How do you feel about Draymond's reasoning for why Chuck shouldn't criticize him?
Okay, it took a pandemic to bring these closer together physically. And when they did, all of the sparks and the fumes that you were used to when they were beefing back and forth dissipated because they were very nice to each other, fundamentally respectful. But here is, you know, two of the most outspoken guys across generations discussing why it is that they haven't gotten along.
The issue that I've had is... a lot of people watch the game of basketball and they don't know what they're looking at. So when they look at a Chuck or they look at, you know, different guys who has this platform, they take what you're saying and they listen to that and they run with that. And so whereas for me, it hasn't necessarily affected my pockets, but there are a lot of guys in this league that people run with what guys say on these platforms, and it affects guys' pockets. And that's the issue that I've had. It had, like I said, you know, we've been able to win. I've had a good career. It hasn't affected my pockets, but it's similar to like JaVale McGee when he came out with Shaq and said, this is altering my career. And I think that's what, you know, we have to understand. And when I said on All the Smoke, as a black man, you got to support the next black man. You can't keep putting the next black man down. I understand that there's a job to do, but I also know I've done too many great things in this league and won a lot to hear some of the stuff he'd be saying about me. And that's where I had the issue.
I mean, but Chuck hasn't been wrong when he says he thinks he's the leader of the boy band and he's just hanging on. Draymond Green has only gotten this level of success that he's gotten, even though he's a wonderful player. I'd want him on my team super versatile because he's played for that juggernaut, and this is the residual hate of what that thing caused. You're going to get blasted by guys like Chuck who will say it right to your face, say it on television, got into heated back and forths with Kobe Bryant because he's always going to tell it like it is, whether Draymond wants to hear it or not.
All right, but let's talk about the question of Draymond and the pockets, though, because I do think he was correct on the level of a player like JaVale McGee. Like, the way that people were talking about him was going to have more of an effect than his actual play was, and he had been rendered basically a clown even though he had become an NBA champion. That's not what's happening, though, with a player like Draymond Green. Like, it wasn't going to affect his level of money. Charles could say whatever he wants about, say, Giannis, or he's seen it with LeBron over the years. That wasn't going to affect what kind of money they were going to make, but what it does affect is the way that people talk about you on the internet. Don't try to make this about your money. This is about the chatter and the things that you have to hear from strangers. And I don't blame you for finding that to be annoying, but I don't think this is really going to have anybody moving up or down a tax bracket.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's about race either, right? Because the differences in those players is not race, it's ability. So if it doesn't affect the black man who could still get the bag because his play speaks for itself, but it does affect JaVale McGee because the instances in which you can kind of clown on him are accurate, then it has nothing to do with whether you're supporting your fellow black man. It has to do with whether you're clowning a guy who does some stupid stuff on the court. I understand where he's coming from. I feel the way about, say, women in the sports industry. I feel protective of them, right? I don't want to take them down even if I disagree with them because there's so few of us and we kind of have to band together. But black men are not a minority in the NBA. This is not an instance where Chuck needs to not do his job the way he wants because he might not help black men rise up in a sport where they already dominate. So this is a great argument for maybe somewhere else. I just don't think it applies here.
Yeah, that's part of where we get into this, like the chatter element of it is. Because Draymond, really, like, why you got to be talking about me like that? That's really what it fundamentally comes down to. Let's not forget once that Draymond on All the Smoke tried to make the point basically that he was a better basketball player than Charles Barkley, which is the most ridiculous thing that he possibly could have said. But I do think for a lot of these players, it probably hurts their feelings a little bit to hear Charles talk about them sometimes in the way he does, because Charles says what he feels, but it ain't like Charles is necessarily giving you concrete, irrefutable evidence. He's just giving you what he thinks.
Would you watch a Pat Mahomes versus Josh Allen throw off?
Okay, is this accuracy-based? Because Drew Brees, with a sports science study that ESPN did with John Brenkus, where'd that show go, is the most accurate thing I have seen against an Olympic archer. The accuracy, I would like that measured. But this is just arm strength we're talking about here, right?
Yep.
Okay, your arm strength, though, at 97, right behind Josh Allen at 99. What do you think about that?
Man, dude, I mean, obviously Josh has an extremely strong arm, but I've yet to see someone have a stronger arm than me. So maybe we can line up. I know we talked about maybe having a throw off, and then we can really prove who has the strongest arm.
Yeah, and you would definitely win, right?
I mean, I have ultimate belief in myself. I mean, he does have a strong arm. If I put it out there like 80, 85 yards, I mean, he beats that, he just beats it.
I'd like to see that. I'm ashamed to say it. Sarah, you're intrigued by this, right? Because I think Mahomes does, but I can't totally be sure.
Yeah, I mean, I recognize that, like Devin Hester racing a cheetah or those weird people who walk across canyons, it's like 30 seconds of action for an hour show. I don't know how they're going to spread it out that long. I just want to see them both chuck it real far. But I'm in, and it needs to be hosted by Uncle Rico, because Uncle Rico could throw it over them mountains, and I feel like he would be the only one who could accurately say which guy's got a better arm.
Yeah, so the difficulty for me on this one is, because this really could go either way, is have we overestimated how strong we think Josh Allen's arm is because we see him overthrow people so much?
Yes.
Because again, I'm not disputing the fact that his arm is strong. His arm is obviously strong, but his arm be looking really strong when it's 20 yards past where the ball was supposed to go. Like, y'all still crossing your fingers hoping that that dude turns into like an actual quarterback at some point. It is so amazing to see the benefit of the doubt that everybody gives him. But I understand why they do, because he is so physically talented. Yeah. I ain't betting against Mahomes at anything, though, that involves throwing a football. Nothing at all. And I'm with Dan also on this. If they're throwing it in an ocean, Josh Allen's got a chance. If they got to drop it in a bucket, Josh Allen don't even need to show up. Who do you think wins a race, though? Like, we keep talking about who could win throwing the ball. Who you got in a running race between those two? Because I might put my money on my man, Jaheim.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I would, too, I think. I think I would take Allen in the race.
This is like a fat Chris Amin situation. Don't go based on whatever you expect to show up.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
No, we're going to make sure we bring not one, not two, not three, not four, but five-plus rings to Kansas City. You know, it's been 50 years. The wait has been great, but the wait is over now, and it's time to create a dynasty.
He's unbelievably skinny, and look at this.
Okay. What?
He didn't dunk at all. He was not dunking because he wasn't moving fast. Bomani, this is shocking, this size and this speed.
Highly Questionable is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of happy hour. Do you question this prediction?
All right, so Chris Jones just got paid, Kansas City Chiefs, and he was on a radio station in, I'm assuming, Kansas City here. They're going to give us the call letters so I could properly credit this, but Chris Jones is predicting big things.
This is only the beginning. Be prepared to have another parade and another parade and another parade,
because
we're going to make sure we bring not one, not two, not three, not four, but five-plus rings to Kansas City. You know, it's been 50 years. The wait has been great, but the wait is over now, and it's time to create a dynasty.
I mean, all sorts of expectations, but I wouldn't bet against them. They just paid $500 million because they believe that guy is going to take them deep into the playoffs every year.
I mean, for five, I would, because it's the NFL. Between injuries and guys that turn over and only play for the next 2 or 3 years, why would you do that? So you see how that worked out for the Miami Heat in a sport where it's much easier to believe you're going to keep winning if you've got three of the best players on a five-man starting roster. Look how many dudes are on a football field that has to go right.
I mean, they might get five. He ain't going to be there for five of them, though. Like, Mahomes might get five. That would have been a better way for him to put it. Patrick Holmes and the Kansas City Chiefs might get five, but they barely even wanted to keep you around this go-round, homie. Like, I'm just saying, like, if you get to stick around for five more years, let alone five more rings, then that winds up being good for you. But the good thing for him is, as good as he is at football, I have no idea what he looks like. He will be able to slide for this like it never happened. LeBron's still answering for what he said at a pep rally. Wasn't even no interview. It was a pep rally.
Do you question if Slim Jokic changes your view of the Nuggets?
All right, what I'm about to show you is a bit shocking in that I don't believe anybody, any one body, anywhere on this globe has changed more than this guy's body during this pandemic. I did not recognize him. Both Bomani and I thought this was Porzingis. He was not a dunker. He was a loaf of bread. Now he's some of that plastic gluten-free bread. He's unbelievably skinny, and look at this.
Okay. What?
He didn't dunk at all. He was not dunking because he wasn't moving fast. Bomani, this is shocking, this size and this speed.
Yeah, that's also not getting up very high to be talking about dunking the ball. Can we run this again? He's 6'10", and he barely got the ball over the rim. Like, apparently he's learning how to dunk now. Is that what's going on here? Like, I'm sorry. I feel like a man who's coming in with that much. He should. That's all you got for him, man? Tell me this, though. Who going to be the first person in the league to not know? Like, you know what it's like when you play basketball against somebody, but you don't know they're left-handed? Like, who's going to be the first person to be like, oh, no, he's dunking on people now?
Literally, everyone's going to know because they're going to look at him immediately and be like, when did Porzingis get on the Nuggets? We better guard him. Oh, shoot. He's got a whole
different skill set. So same thing happened to you. We all had the same thing happen to us. We all thought the original picture of this guy, we thought it was Porzingis.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, though, with Jokic. Like, if he was a singer, we would be afraid he lost it. You know what I mean? Like, you know how that goes sometimes when you got them big old singers and they come back and they're not so big anymore. And you're like, yo, I don't know if they can still do it. Like, Jokic, luckily we haven't done that to him. But if he comes out struggling, they're going to be shoveling food in front of him.
Do you question if this is an impressive skill?
All right, we're going out to Japan, but they haven't told us what the skill is we're examining. So let's see what we have here in Japan. Is this impressive?
Oh.
Dog. Look at that look on his face.
It is a skill. I don't know for what, but...
Is he some kind of key in the bolo?
Does he have that name where you can feel pain?
That's what I'm saying. Bolo's the only person I could imagine who can handle such a thing. And I know that Pablo was watching this right now. Mad he's not on the show so he could claim this for the whole Asian diaspora. Amazing feat of strength like this. This is what he's trying to see. He wants more of this as a representation of him and his folks. I know this. I did a TV show with him for 2 years. I'm telling you, he is salty right now that he is not here to claim that dude. Because if I find out he can rap, he's coming with us.
Well, you've both been around this show a whole bunch. And so you know that when we go to a video like that, this is the next video we'll go to in terms of impressive feats of strength in this region.
Whoa.
Yeah, there it is. Actually, this guy right here.
You didn't start playing this video until I left the show because you know I would generally not approve of this, but somehow that man, although it did look like at the end, he was like, oh, no mas. No mas. We get to the end of that again.
I've never seen that. Wait a minute. I've never seen the finish of that video. There was never a no mas.
No. Watch out. Look how Ginger gets
backing at the away.
End. Yeah, look at that, right? Taking it.
Yep.
Oh, all right.
I'm good.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
How about you, Bomani?
I'm not really intrigued, but I just want to know. You said this dude is 21 years old and he got that chain?
Yes.
What that chain made out of? Like, has he started collecting real major league checks? Because I feel like that chain is gold.
Highly Questionable is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit, part of Happy Hour. Tonight at 9:40 p.m., Angels and Dodgers.
Guys, baseball's about to get here. Are you starved enough for some kind of sport that I can interest you in something like this? A 21-year-old phenom, somebody who throws really hard for the Dodgers. What does he have? Let's see what he's got.
The centerpiece of that deal from the LA perspective.
Oh. Chain came off.
Uh oh.
His chain.
That is a big chain to be playing in.
Yes. He throws 99 and he's got such whip on that fastball that, there it is. Gold breaking. If you wear a chain like that, then you might have that sort of grace and athleticism in times of trouble. Sarah, are you intrigued here?
Yes, I will watch, and I have been watching all of the Cubs summer camp scrimmages or whatever you call them. So I'm desperate enough for baseball to watch the not even real baseball.
How about you, Bomani?
I'm not really intrigued, but I just want to know. You said this dude is 21 years old, and he got that chain?
Yes.
What that chain made out of? Like, has he started collecting real major league checks? Because I feel like that chain is gold.
Tonight at 7. World team tennis.
Starved for sports? Are you starved for something that feels like team sports? How about world team tennis? You ain't never been that starved, have you? Let's see what we have here.
And that's
and
down.
Drilled.
And down.
Friendly fire.
That'll happen in doubles. Yeah,
she's giving him a little bit of resuscitation. Right here.
Yeah, I've always thought that's a flaw in the game. Like that right there is a reason to not watch doubles tennis.
Step
Sarah,
into the alley. Yeah.
Are you intrigued?
Not really. I'm gonna sit and wait for my Red Stars to be in the NWSL semis tomorrow night. I don't need this tennis.
She is starved. Bomani, man, you're getting Cubs summer games. Bomani, are you intrigued?
I'm not gonna lie. You tell me that somebody gets hit in the back of the head with a serve every match, I'll watch every single one. I actually enjoy doubles tennis quite a bit. And you tell me that somebody's going to catch one of those every single time, watching. Because it's only a matter of time before somebody turns around and they start fighting. Well, hopefully not them, because that would be very awkward. But, I mean, just the concept.
That would be a way to
You would actually
clean
have to
that
just hop over the net and fight your counterpart on behalf of your own,
We're out of time here. If you want more Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones in podcast form, more Sarah Spain, that's what she said on the Levitard and Friends Network. Thanks for watching.
Hi, Dan.
Hello, Sarah. Do I
let like Valerie your hair. You look like a hockey player.
Do I let Valerie cut just this? Because I look like Bozo the Clown. Like,
well,
it
when
is,
you do yeah. that, you do.
Yeah, that's
Whoa.
Tricky. Yeah.